When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One to another, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. Brighton march on in Europe and Liverpool host Manchester United this weekend. It's Friday, 15th of December. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Lucian Hunter-Raja.
Oi, oi, everybody, it's Friday and it's bloody good to have you with us. Before we get into the show, though, just a reminder that you can listen to our reaction to the last ever round of Champions League group stage action now. Pete and Andy got together for a Ramble Reacts right after Newcastle selfishly destroyed England's UEFA coefficient on Wednesday, of course. So do scroll down to listen to that episode when you're done with this one. It's incredible, Jim, that we've kissed goodbye the Champions League group stage.
Yeah, they're gone.
Yeah.
I'm sad about it.
I am sad about it as well. It's going to be really weird now.
And the Europa League and everything, it's all change.
It's all change, as Cast would say.
That's right.
It's all change.
But wasn't it great, though, that in the Europa League last night, the British clubs, bar Liverpool, gave us a great display.
Yeah, especially after Newcastle and Man United have banjaxed the coefficient in the...
But it was an incredible... I mean, obviously Liverpool lost, but not that they cared because they were good. I did love it, though, the fact that the goalkeeper came up for the corner at the end. It's like, you're fine, you're top of the group.
But do you reckon that Liverpool, as they walked off, just were looking around at Union Saint-Gilloise, who are having an historically great time, and just went, we don't care.
No.
The difference between us and you, we don't even care about this. This is the biggest night of your lives, and for us, it's Thursday.
Why is the goalkeeper going up at the end? Love it.
They just want any excuse.
Just get on the score sheet.
What you've got to remember is goalkeepers, you have to be a bit mad to be a goalkeeper.
That's right.
You haven't got
a drummer, innit?
Yeah, it's a bit. You haven't got to be mad to be a goalkeeper, but it helps.
It does help. It does bloody help.
They're a different breed.
Yeah, I mean, look, even Aberdeen won last night, Luke.
Even Aberdeen.
Yeah.
They've had a tough old group of it.
That's why I said even Aberdeen.
I have to go round the houses to go all these different places, played the snow a week before last.
But when they came to Aberdeen, Eintracht Frankfurt, no less.
Exactly.
You know, Aberdeen doing Rangers a favour when Frankfurt beat them in the Europa League final. It's nice when Scottish football bands together like that.
As it so often does.
It does, yeah.
Actually, what Rangers, what a win they had in back to the scene of the final.
Absolutely right.
Well, the city of the final.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I don't think you need to clarify that.
Yeah.
No one's going to pull you up on that.
No one is.
Not when I'm on the show.
But anyway, the big story, I think, certainly from our perspective, was Brighton beating Marseille and topping the group. An important thing to do because you don't want that annoying little playoff.
You put their feet up to the new year now.
That's right.
The draw for the playoff is on Monday, isn't it? So yeah, you give yourself an absolute stinker of a game if you're not careful.
Well, you're avoiding the likes of Milan and was it Benfica in there as well? Galatasaray, of course, in that playoff. So it could be
and
pretty
crucially
big stuff.
Not Manchester United. That's what they're going to say. Here's the teams for the draw for the playoff, and they're going to list all the teams, and they're going to put at the end of their little ball. It's a red ball that no one can pick.
Yep.
And it just says not Man United on it.
Yeah,
and it's got a little red devil on it.
Now, would it not be better to have them in the hat and it pull out not Manchester United, and then you flip it over and it's the actual team?
Every single one. It'd be really great, wouldn't it?
It would.
Before you go fully into Europa League mode, though, with Brighton. If we're going to be talking about all this stuff in the conference league, we've got to talk about Aston Villa top in their group as well.
Yeah. We'll get to them.
Okay, we'll get to them. Fine. Yeah, I should probably just read the run and all. Okay. Sorry about that.
Someone should, didn't they?
My argument is I've never bothered doing it before, so I don't know why I should start now.
That's true.
I've been doing this show for 38 years.
I've been doing it for you.
Yeah, that is Pete's argument. Yeah.
But Brighton, they got a massive late winner from that man, Joao Pedro.
Great goal, by the way.
Beauty. Yeah, lovely goal.
Absolute beauty. And the scenes of celebration. Roberto De Zerbi summed it up saying, I lost my voice, I lost everything.
Yeah.
Someone's got his phone out there.
Yeah.
But also, he did reference a defeat that his Foggia side suffered years ago in a Serie C playoff against Gennaro Gattuso's Pisa, because Gattuso, of course, Marseille manager.
Yeah.
And he said, it was against Rina Gattuso I lost the most important game of my career up to now. This win I dedicate to my former players at Foggia who lost the match and to the fans. This game, in a way, closes the circle.
That is terrifying. How much unfinished business is he holding in his mind at any one time if this is some sort of closing of a circle?
Yeah, I assumed that maybe him and Gattuso, there was a bit of beef, but there didn't seem to be. I mean, unless I'm missing something.
I think two men like that meeting looks like beef.
It does,
even
definitely.
If it's entirely personal. Because
meeting spelt with an A.
Absolutely. And the beef is probably pastrami.
Yeah.
They basically look like two bouncers outside a nightclub.
Yeah. Who would you fancy?
Oh, it's really difficult one.
It's got to be Gattuso.
The obvious answer is Gattuso, but I think De Zerbi.
Oh, De Zerbi's doing some damage.
He's got a trick up his sleeve.
Oi, whoever wins, we lose. Yeah. It's like Alien versus Predator.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the greatest tagline of any movie ever, by the way.
Great.
Not a great film. Alien versus Predator. Whoever wins, we lose.
Yeah.
It's great. It's good stuff, guys.
Yeah, and work your way backwards to create a film, which they did.
Yeah.
But Brighton finished top of Group B, as we say, and I tell you something. You look at the teams, they could go far in this tournament. I really could.
I think we mentioned that before, didn't we, in terms of like the scale of their squad. And as you said,
I'm doubling down on
teams,
it.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. But you kind of took it as your own thing there. I think we've all agreed on that.
I appreciate when people double down, it's usually with an unhelpful or horrible opinion. Yeah. But I think Brighton going far in
this
tournament.
It's quite a nice opinion, isn't it? Yeah.
In your case, it is.
Come on.
I like the way that the point I've made before, Vish, which I am sticking to.
Don't say that on the mic.
Sometimes I make points 5-6 months ago that I look back and go, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
With the Brighton thing, I'm going to stick with it, which is that it was really heartening to see how they worked their way out of the group, how they worked it out, playing against European opposition, which is slightly different, playing against, for example... Yeah, Ajax aren't historic. You know, Ajax aren't doing very well. Of course, they go to the Conference League now after this group stage. They're not in a great moment, as a European coach using English as a second language would say. But Brighton, a team like Brighton, have to deal with the idea of playing Ajax as much as they have to deal with playing Ajax themselves.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same with Marseille. You've got an amazing history for the size of club in Europe as well. AEK Athens are no pushovers as well, as we saw because Brighton lost to them at home. I think it was in the opening.
It was what to expect to lose your opening game, which
and then they build their way and they finish top of the group, which is an amazing achievement.
An amazing achievement, Jim Campbell.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think we saw with Newcastle as well. Sometimes, particularly in those away games, teams in Europe can play within themselves a little bit, and it's more. It's not even just playing the idea of Ajax, is it? It's just playing without restriction and playing without nerves. And as you say, Brighton built into that, and this will be what a brilliant way this is to end the group as well. What you want when you get into Europe, particularly if it's a team, you know, making their maiden voyage, is you want these big names and you want these big nights, you want those memories, and you want it to be something to build on. We'll come on to West Ham in a bit. They've done that really well. They're regularly in Europe now, and that's part of the fuel for it. And Brighton have played this perfectly, really.
Well, we wish Brighton all the best. And do we wish them all the best for Sunday? Because they head to Arsenal.
Nah, fuck them.
João Pedro, I mean, talking about, you know, a player that could possibly hurt Arsenal, João Pedro, along with Hee Chan at Wolves, probably been one of the more underrated performers in the Premier League this season.
He's really sort of quietly gone about racking up the goals, hasn't he? I think he's got 11 for the season now. A lot of those in the Europa League are penalties, but, you know.
João Pedro.
Isn't it? Pau Pedro.
Pau Pedro.
I like it.
Yeah.
So they don't count, is what you're saying?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. All right. Well,
actually, what a bad season he's having.
Let's hope they get a controversial penalty against Arsenal, because it will piss off Arteta and it will get João Pedro's goals up.
Yeah. I would bloody love to be here, sat opposite Jim on Monday, and Brighton have beaten Arsenal 3-0, and it's been three João Pedro penalties. That's what I'd like to happen.
Do you think we'd be able to spend much time on the game after Liverpool 8 United?
Maybe not. No.
See, you're joining in now.
Yeah, it's basically become a lobbying. The WhatsApp group's become a lobbying area for Vish to not talk about Man United. I said yesterday, let's not do Man United on Friday because we'll probably do it on Monday. And he was straight away, let's not do it tomorrow. I'll worry about Monday later.
We've spoken about them a lot lately, haven't we?
Yeah, there's a reason for that. Little mention for Simon Adingra as well. He's having an absolutely brilliant season.
Yes.
Again, so much fun. Brighton don't just unearth like good players, they unearth fun players.
Do you know what I like what they've done as well is that they're getting big performances out of Billy Gilmore, because obviously he was at Chelsea.
And he was brilliant last night.
Well, 100%
he looks like he's found a home, doesn't he?
Yeah, 100% success rate in his past, I think 60 out of 60.
That's amazing.
Which is Harry Winks at Leicester-esque, I would say.
Yeah, but it's at a higher level as well.
Yeah, but I think, you know, he was at Chelsea, played a little bit, and it was like, oh, he's a really good player. We'll play him. Why, no. Yeah. Chelsea, we don't do that. So, and then he round the house. Was he in Norwich? Was he wherever he was? He was at
Norwich. It didn't go very well at all.
That probably was the wider context. Obviously, had that great game against England at the Euros and so on. And as you say, Jim, now it looks like he's got a home. He's playing, and it's great to see.
I don't want to upset anyone, but Opta is saying he had a 97% pass success, not 100.
Well, who are you going to believe?
I believe you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think we've had enough of experts.
I think we have. Yeah. I don't think we need any of that nonsense.
I think we're best off out of Opta.
Yeah, I agree too.
Indeed.
People have spoken.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. West Ham 7, Freiburg 0.
Great result for the Hammers.
Yeah.
Great result for them.
Are you saying I'm a liar?
I had a different one.
I've it written in UK law that West Ham won that game 7-0. They won 2-0, of course. Sorry about the bollocks, everybody. They avoided a playoff because they topped their group as well. Important to do is say you don't want that nasty, horrible little playoff.
Moyes was fuming about the idea of even fucking thinking about it.
Brought it in just for this season as well.
Yeah.
Like before completely revamping the Europa League. Why? What's the fucking point?
Yeah. I know. It's
they're just fucking with us.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is absolutely ridiculous. West Ham, though, they looked in control throughout the game. They were good value for the win. And as you say, Moyes delighted to avoid that muggy little playoff, saying we're going into a really busy period and our culture means we play a lot of games at Christmas. But it seems that they are squeezing in other games where they can, which seems a bit ridiculous, to be honest.
I think, you know, it's always dangerous ground to be saying this, but I kind of agree with him.
Well, you should agree with him, because he's one of the three European managers who holds one of the belts.
He is, absolutely. Absolutely. The only thing I would say to those comments from David Moyes, other than that, is just that they're completely wrong because the playoff hasn't actually happened until February, which by anyone's measure isn't Christmas.
You get the picture.
If you're doing Christmas in February, you're not in England.
Fine. You're not following the calendar correctly.
No.
But you know what it means, though, that there's a busy time and off the back of that through the winter and, you know, they just don't want to play it, damn it all.
No.
You do have it, as I say, that in January you have that sort of staggered fixture system.
They don't want to play extra games, and I understand why. It's crazy how many games they play already.
Well, also, you've got more chance of winning the competition if you face fewer teams.
Good point.
Quite simply.
Yeah.
Quite simply.
You can't argue with that.
And they want that Europa League.
They do.
And they've got
it. I'd love them to go through the whole thing, all the way to Champions League.
Oh, imagine. I said this and it was ridiculed. I did say next season they might win the Champions League.
Yeah.
That's very different.
Yeah. Because that is nonsense. Yeah.
Okay, but it is possible, is it not, Vish?
Vish doesn't give a shit about the Champions League anymore.
Vish, answer this, yes
the
or
what?
No? Is it,
what's it called?
Is it possible?
Never heard of
is
it
within the realms of possibility that West Ham could win the Champions League next year?
No.
Okay, fine. Get out the house, you're a liar. Freiburg fans seem to be having a nice time, though. Started singing Last Christmas in the crowd, but that doesn't knock everybody out. That's not Whamageddon.
No.
It doesn't count. It's not Whamageddon.
It's not the recording. No. It doesn't count.
No, it doesn't count at all. It's like trying to sing into Shazam. It doesn't work.
You can't lose the game just by hearing someone say Last Christmas.
Yeah.
It depends how many of them.
Yeah.
If it's over 5,000 people who are singing it, I think that's fair.
The undercurrent,
5,000, probably not.
The undercurrent of all this is like every single time like a British football fan has any kind of exposure at all to a German element of fan culture, they're always like begrudgingly, oh, it's really good, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're
always
having a really good time.
How do they know our language?
Yeah, they know our language. They don't get ripped off. Yeah, it seems like a nice day out for everyone.
Let's learn German and give it back to.
I can't be fucked. Yeah.
They understand us anyway. You're shit and you know you are. Yeah, West Ham will host Wolves this weekend.
And how's Gary O'Neill going to steal the thunder? That's what we want to know.
Yeah.
Hopefully, just by winning the game.
Hopefully.
For those who are partial to a bit of Gary O'Neill's Wolves.
Yeah, I think we all are, aren't we?
He's the alpha. He's the alpha of the pack, isn't he, at the moment?
Would you say?
I would say. I mean, he has to be.
He's the manager.
Yeah absolutely.
He does have like a Woodland-type quality to him, doesn't he?
I think so, yeah.
He's like he was raised by Wolves.
He's not an intimidator. Well, Portsmouth. He's not an intimidating man. He's not actually from Portsmouth. I think he's from South London, but he came to Portsmouth very early.
Right.
He learned how to fight in Portsmouth.
Oh, big time.
That suggests some sort of like medieval so proud of banishment.
Yeah.
Do you know how I know he learned how to fight in Portsmouth?
Because he's still alive.
Yeah.
Because he's still alive and kicking. Uh-huh. He has got a Woodland quality to him. And in many, he's almost a bit like a scraggier Santi Cazorla in that way.
Yeah.
Cazorla looks like
O'Neill.
Yeah, because Cazorla looks like a woodland creature, but quite a fluffy, nice one.
Yeah, yeah.
Gary O'Neill would steal all your acorns.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Cazorla's got a bit of like fantasy magic about him, doesn't
definitely.
He?
Definitely.
He's a bit elfish as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
No, O'Neill's not elfish, is he?
No, Gary O'Neill's like if he ran over a fawn. That's what he looks like.
Yeah.
Jorginho is, of course, the ultimate fawn.
Yeah.
Getting a little bit sexual now, Jim, isn't it? Call someone the ultimate fawn.
Getting.
Yeah.
Aston Villa got a draw. They got a draw and they topped their group as well. On their way, surely, to Europa Conference League glory.
Are we just mentioning all the English teams that win and how they're going to win that competition?
What's your problem?
We think. Do you not think that Andy Brassel makes this point in a serious way, and people like you don't question it?
Well, you mean the financial
talks about budgets? And so it's a generally considered thing that actually, if you're an Aston Villa or a West Ham, maybe not West Ham because Europa League's probably a bit tougher, but if you're Aston Villa and you don't win the Conference League, You fucked it, basically.
Yeah. But it feels a little bit like if someone asks you to set them up with one of your mates, it's like, oh, he's a brilliant lad. He's brilliant.
Yeah.
And obviously you just don't see what he's actually like.
Are you talking about yourself here?
A little bit.
Sometimes.
Okay.
I think sometimes when I watch Aston Villa play, I think they're the best team in the world. They look so good.
But
not last night.
I mean, they're fielded.
I'll be totally honest with you. I didn't watch them last night.
There is something to be said for that, because the way they're playing and certainly the way that they, like, you know, the underlying numbers, you know, behind the wins and the goals they're getting is like a real sense of like they're playing different football.
Yeah, they're practicing grinding, aren't they?
Yeah.
In the Conference League.
Yeah. Which they did really well against Arsenal.
Yeah.
And they're so adaptable as well.
Yeah.
And they've got exciting players going forward as well. They can kind of do it all. Anyway, Aston Villa, what a loving.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, all agreed.
Sorry to Aston Villa fans, because they'll almost certainly get beaten by Brentford away this weekend, now we've said that.
I don't know that they will, though. This is the sense with them that it feels a bit different, Villa, doesn't it? Like they've got a lot of momentum and they've got a lot of versatility, as you say, as well. Mm. I love the fact that they signed Nicolò Zaniolo, who scored last night.
Yeah, because I almost forget he's there.
Yeah, I keep forgetting he's there. Yeah, he scored the winner, of course, in the inaugural competition of the Europa Conference League. Smart move from them, because
when Jose unified the belt.
That's right.
Amazing. He's got amazing pedigree, Zaniolo. Yeah. He's linked with massive, massive clubs at one point.
Well, he left Roma for Galatasaray.
Yeah.
He's on loan at Aston Villa. But, you know, if you're in that competition, you think, we need a man who knows how to win it.
Big time.
And they've got him in there.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Who have they got in the big chair as well? He knows how to win a European competition. That's a fact.
He hasn't won this one yet.
Count me,
because it literally didn't exist when he was having his amazing time.
So I'm right. Anyway.
On behalf of myself and everyone listening, sorry about that, Marcus.
Yeah. Apology accepted. Now we move on to the Premier League, of course, Spurs versus Nottingham Forest this evening. Little Friday night football.
I absolutely love. I know that when I've got a certain hat on, I talk about how like certain things are kind of sacred and we shouldn't be doing this type of thing, and it's annoying having football every night. And then it comes to a Friday, and I've had a long week, and I think, do you know what?
Mm.
Great. Yeah. I'll happily watch a Premier League game when I've got nothing on Friday night. That's a fantastic treat.
This has huge barn burner qualities.
It does.
Well, I said last week on the mailbag, you know, that I'd like to see much more unified 3 p.m. kickoffs across the Premier League.
You don't want anyone to be able to watch any football ever. Well, is that what you were saying?
Not quite. All of it at 3 p.m. Had you have listened to what I was saying?
I won't listen.
I agree with Jim, and you should ask the question.
I thought Jim made quite a salient point there.
Okay, well, it's
about your opinion.
It's there for and that's where we are in this country right now. I was saying, of course, that you should get rid of the blackout and everyone is 3 p.m. kickers, and I think that's it. But of course, inevitably, due to Europa League fixtures and all, you would have some games on a Sunday and whatnot. But Friday nights, you just get the odd Brucey bonus.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
Exactly, and that's tonight. So you do have that once in a while. And you know, it's at the City Ground. The home form of Forest has not been too good of late. They started the season sort of fairly well. But barn burner quality, Jim, is something that we all want to see tonight.
Absolutely, yeah. There's a phrase that gets used a lot in games like this, which is like, it's going to be great under the light. It's like,
yeah,
you can see every game of football. It's all under some sort of light in some way. But for some reason, particular fixtures, it feels like the lights are going to make more of a difference. Yeah. And for some reason, this is one of them.
And also, sorry, Jim, to cut in, I was going to say the Brennan Johnson factor.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah.
Right, okay.
I'd quite like to see him turn full heel.
Yeah, same.
Tonight, because he seems like a really lovely young
nice
man.
Boy, yeah.
I would like to see a different side to him tonight. Yeah, where he's just an absolute dick for
I'd like to see him fucking go into the Forest penalty area, the first Spurs attack, and while they're waiting to take a corner or something, mm-hmm. rip up the turf and just shove it in his mouth and look at the fans behind the goal, uh-huh. the Forest fans, yeah. and just chew on the grass, intensely staring at them, and as the ball comes in, wet himself and score.
Yeah, and then when he scores, run into the crowd, point downwards, just go down. That's you.
But he's also pointing at his wet pants.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. While kissing the badge with his mouth full of turf.
Why would wetting himself make him look... That would surely undermine everything.
No, it's like, it's not... Because what he's saying is... I've not only forgotten about you lot, I've gone fucking mad.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then they won't take it.
Through indifference.
And then Forrest will get relegated and they'll go, at least we ain't got to play against that fucking maniac.
Yeah, but then that will because if he's trying to like put across that he's gone mad, then they won't take it as personally when he kisses the badge.
So true.
I think he would have gone a bit too far if he wet himself.
No, I think it's fine. I thought about it and I still think it's fine.
I think what he should do actually is pull a P45 out of his shorts and hand it to Steve Cooper.
Out of his shin pad.
That is naughty and cold, Jim.
I think also what I would to take it to a semi-serious position, if I may, for a second.
I wasn't that serious.
No.
Who took it to that unserious place in the first place?
I think he's just shit himself. No. I look at not only Forest, and I see so many players that I enjoy watching play. And although Spurs have come out of that little funk they're in by getting a win and a good win as well, it's tempting because, you know, the narrative about Spurs generally has been they're a really good team and they've got this identity and they're going to do great things under Postecoglou. One game of a win after five without a win doesn't make that automatically everything fine again. And as Jim's already alluded to with this under the lights chat, it could be tough for Spurs tonight. And I think if Forrest can really make a go of it and give themselves a famous night, it could very well save Steve Cooper's job, because we know Marinakis to be a kind of bit of a mad character who acts a lot on emotion. He might sit there and go, this is fucking brilliant, I'm going to stick around for a while.
Also, the players absolutely love Steve Cooper. They talk about it a lot. We know that that's legit and genuine. And he has been very good, actually, and they've been very good at getting a win in situations like this where they need to relieve a little bit of pressure. So it's probably a bit extreme to say that they thrive on it, but they do have experience of it, and it makes them a really dangerous, probably quite tricky opponent.
Yeah, I was going to say similar, Jim, that this is the time now for these players to really show they're playing for the manager. Because as you say, if you like him, you know what the owner's like. And it's not just because of the owner, it's also the reality of the Premier League. You lose in a handful of games, you look like you're not pulling up any trees soon, and they are the tricky trees, lest we forget. Mm. And, you know, managers are fired. I mean, this season's been a bit of a strange one.
Because we haven't had as many.
Yeah, having said that, though, I'm sure people will say, well, actually, two seasons ago, we're used to managerial sackings in the Premier League. Is
see
what I'm
that? Undermining things our listeners might say.
Yeah, exactly. You can't say that.
We stave them off before they turn up, Jim.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Spurs are favourites. I mean,
of course.
Let's not be silly here, you know. Interestingly, though, after 16 matches, Spurs have exactly the same points total and even goals scored / conceded as they did last season under Antonio Conte.
Hmm.
So I mean, maybe it's not that good, Jim.
16 matches is
is quite a small sample size.
I think it's a reasonable sample. No, it's a reasonable sample size. Reign, though,
Jim, it? I've been a big supporter of you over the years, but I agree with Marcus.
Surely that's a reasonable sample, isn't it?
I think
so. If they'd lost all 16, well, come on, it's early days.
Of course, but I think the implication of the comparison there is about not the seasons, but the respective reigns of Conte and Postecoglou, and it implies that we can expect more of the same sort of chaos under Postecoglou that we saw under Conte, and I don't think that's likely to be the case. I think the injuries Spurs have had have been obviously a massive contributing factor to their poor run of results lately, and also there was a definite new manager bounce element to their run at the start. So I still don't really know who they are under Postecoglou.
It's also the type of football.
Yeah, you don't know who they are.
I know who they are, Jim. Do you want me to tell you?
Mm-hmm.
They are Ange's brave boys,
yeah.
Who, despite everything that happens and all the kind of bad fortune that comes their way, they will have a go.
Sometimes get 1 point in five games.
It's who we are, mate. It's right. Who we are, mate. I know, yeah, he can't resist it, can he?
Can't.
Have we got any Arsenal coming up in the second half?
How many manager of the month
so that's why he's having
Mikel,
a dig.
Has Mikel Arteta won this season?
I don't know, actually.
Right, okay.
Do you imagine the celebration he'd get if he won the manager of the month? Fucking stave Gary Cottrell's head in with it. Hopefully.
Oh dear.
Hopefully.
Fucking windmilling into Jeff Shreves with fucking two manager of months. One manager of the month award in one now, one on the other round, the third one down his pants.
Yeah, Shreves is.
And one just outside the technical area for Richard Keys.
Exactly. It'd be like an NME Brat Award with the middle finger up to Richard Keys.
Good. It could be the Serge Aurier derby tonight. He might be back after missing the last
season. I think he's injured.
The calf problem. Well, there's a chance he might be back. Okay, it would be good to see him, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, speaking of it would be good to see him because, he is someone who's got a bit of an X factor about him. But if you're talking about injured Forest players coming back, the player they need back is, of course, Awoniyi.
Yeah.
And that's been a big factor for them. He started the season well. He was scoring goals. He got injured.
He'd be a massive player for them, yeah.
And it's not always just down to one player, of course. But, I mean, in the Premier League, you know, it's important, obviously, to have someone who can not guarantee you goals but can finish chances.
Yeah.
And Forest, you know... off the top of my head, what they lost one of their goals, in that run they're in at the moment, one of them they lost 3-2, so they scored goals there. They drew 1-0 with Wolves, didn't they? They got hammered by Fulham, they didn't score at all. So
they lost a couple 3-2. They lost to West Ham and Brighton 3-2.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Everyone's getting hammered by Fulham lately, aren't they?
Big time.
Even Liverpool. They won that game.
Yeah, I know.
Before the break, everybody, a reminder that the Ramble mailbag has gone weekly. So we're bringing you a brand new Ramble mailbag show every single Saturday. So do join us tomorrow. It promises to be a blooming cracker.
Yeah, this week we're going to do aspects of old school football that have been overly romanticised.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do players that we wish we'd see in the flesh or had signed for the clubs that we support, and one or two other things as well. Should be fun.
Should be a lovely old time. Right, let's have a quick break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Human beings sometimes need to get punished.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody.
It's just, could I just say, at the risk of sounding xenophobic, that's funnier because it's a German
definitely,
accent than English.
Definitely.
There's something about the German accent that makes it funny.
Something very, very naughty and sexy.
Big also, time. Just imagining his eyes and like mouth when he yeah. says, oh, I probably shouldn't have gone into that much detail. But his face, essentially.
That says to me, that the way he said that, that says to me, I grew up in a country where they have porn on telly during the day.
During the day.
They do. In some parts of continental Europe, you get like soft porn on TV during the day. Or you used to. You used to.
Watching it while eating your grapefruit and your breakfast.
Yeah. Is that why Pete goes on holiday all the time? There's an element. Dortmund and places like
that's why, that's why Pete has a fire stick. So he can see his channels. Yeah.
It's obviously complete bullshit, but there was an element, wasn't there, when we were growing up, of our generation, where you'd think that like Germans were all a little bit like, they loved it. Yeah. They'd walk around their house
they
naked.
Loved
it. Like, I still think
a lot
that.
Of rubber, a lot of latex.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah.
They love it, Jim, don't they? That lot over there, they love it.
I love the Germans. I think they're like a better version of British people.
You love them, they love them. Yeah, it's a lot of love.
They love it, exactly. Yeah.
It's a lot of love, yeah. Now, Liverpool versus Manchester United. A lot of love between
that's
these two.
Laughing, yeah. just that one sentence.
You were lulled into a full sense of security.
I was, yeah. Can we talk? I never thought I'd say this. Can we hear more from Luke?
Sunday at 4:30 p.m. Now, are you pleased that you can have a good weekend?
Oh, weekend, look forward to it.
Or is it worse that there's a big old run up to it? Would you prefer it in the early morning, early Saturday?
You prefer it tonight, get it done.
Yeah.
While like, most people are out. just get it done.
Yeah.
12:30. It's just the idea that it's just there waiting for you at the end. It's basically the Monday feeling, but on a Sunday afternoon, isn't it?
And also, given that Liverpool basically phoned it in last night because of this, they're all going. Because one of you guys mentioned this thing earlier in the week. It might have been on the Wednesday show, could have been on Monday, where, or maybe even last week, doesn't matter, where you talk about how when May and I just go to this place where they're embarrassing themselves, they somehow, I think it was you who said it, they'll probably get a sneaky win against Bayern Munich or something.
That's right.
They'll find it and they'll do a 1-0 or they'll get a creditable 1-0 draw.
Yep.
And I thought, oh, maybe they'll do this here at Anfield. Then I looked about what happened last season.
Probably not. Missing Bruno Fernandes as well. Not that he was much help last season, but they've got a lot of players out. There is massive potential for this to be awful. And we obviously spoke about Man United's trials and tribulations a lot on Wednesday. But there was so much to talk about. We didn't get to talk about that absolutely horrendous rondo they did that went viral. I don't know if anyone's seen it.
I've seen it.
Attempting a rondo. Well, Jim, someone tweeted and said, this looks like the Football Ramble doing a rondo.
Yeah. Offensive.
I think four passes was the most put together in that clip.
Yeah.
Because normally when you see...
astonishing.
Normally when you see like top teams doing it, it's like a game of pinball.
It's a blur,
The one, the clip of England from the last international with Rico Lewis and Cole Palmer,
But this one is being administered by Steve McLaren. And he's obviously an excellent coach. He's got a great reputation as a coach. But you could see in the background he was shouting and getting a bit... He was basically tearing his hair island out. He was fuming about how bad it was.
Why did he have a brolly up?
Because
it wasn't even raining.
Is that carefully edited? Is it like one of those things where they did two or
possibly,
three and it fucked
possibly.
It and people... That's what people...
Well, actually, wasn't it from the club's channel?
No, it's Randy Mitten who does a lot of Man United stuff. Right. So actually, it probably wasn't carefully edited, actually. Because he wouldn't do that.
It doesn't matter. The fact is that happened. We saw it, and we're going to run with it.
I was there.
Yes,
I saw it.
What do you think of this, Fish? Reports have emerged that Sir Jim Ratcliffe
has met with Graham Potter, who apparently would be his preferred replacement should he sack Erik ten Hag.
So as it kind of fits with what Ineos have done, particularly in cycling, in that they try and make...
What, hire Graham Potter?
Well, they try... they try and basically recruit people that they see fits in with their general vibe of like looking for marginal gains and all that kind of stuff. Mm. And they probably see that with Potter because he'll be not as expensive as going and getting, say, like, you know, say, for example, buying out De Zerbi from Brighton or whatever, yeah, whatever they choose to do. I'm kind of numb to it a bit because it's quite, we spoke about it a bit on Wednesday, but like with this, you know, with that takeover being kicked down the road a bit, it kind of, you know, the vacuum above Ten Hag continues on.
Definitely.
And it's unlikely that he's going to be sacked after this. But when they come in, they, you know, they might do the thing of like, right, we're in, we're cleaning house, he's going, and Ten Hag will be one of those. Yeah, Potter's a funny one. I'm a little bit surprised he's been out of management for so long. But then saying that, he did specifically say that after the Chelsea job, he wanted to like take stock of everything and choose his next move wisely, which makes me think he might say no.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a strange choice if the reports are true, and it does kind of suggest a little bit more of the same kind of chaos, because it doesn't seem like a good fit at all, does it? Especially after what happened to Chelsea. And I know the situations aren't exactly comparable, but it is a big club in an amount of chaos.
Tell me a manager who would fit, you know?
Well, I was about to say,
it's
funny, because in this country...
Alex Ferguson.
Yeah, well, in this country, we would say, well, that's ridiculous, you know, because England doesn't produce any really top-level managers. I know Eddie Howe's done very, very well.
Having a dig at Southgate, isn't he?
Yeah.
At club level,
I should say.
At the international level, it's all there to see. So Eddie Howe is an obvious one. There's one or two others. You know, Gary O'Neill's doing right. But I mean, you know, in terms of top level, because we take a country like Italy, where they obviously produce a very high level of coaches, the thought of somebody going from a club of, say, Brighton size to a club of Chelsea size or Manchester United, it's not that uncommon.
No, they flit around clubs all the time.
Yeah, they do. Now, I understand that, you know, that we always talk about the money in the Premier League and go down to the Championship. And, you know, it's a very different league to Serie A in a lot of respects. So I get that. I actually don't think it's ridiculous that he's talking to Potter. I understand that Potter didn't do very well at Chelsea. But, you know, Pochettino, who's very well respected, is not doing that well at Chelsea at the moment either. Actually, I just quite like to see what Potter could do in different circumstances, because he's obviously a good manager. Like, look what he did, you know, look at his CV. I'm not sure Manchester United is the place, though, because it's such a basket case.
I mean, but I do rate Potter as a manager, but if you bring him in the same way that if you bring anyone in, you've got to sort out everything around it, haven't you?
Well, of course.
Like, if you're going to have a director of football, you know, maybe a technical director who can focus a bit more on like player recruitment and actually do it properly, rather than just say, right, here's 86 million for that lad you had on your team last time.
It just feels like such a big unwieldy beast that no one singular appointment can fix in any amount of time.
Yeah.
Like, ultimately, the fact that Ratcliffe is talking to Potter, if that's to be believed, is quite an interesting thing. And I think, you know, Potter, I echo what you guys have said, he's a good coach and everything. But it's a massive challenge, and ultimately, no one can be successful there. No one can realistically be successful there to a good level that Man United are expected to be successful at, as players or managers, until the whole thing is sorted out.
Yeah,
patch that hole up in the roof.
That's part of it, isn't it?
Maybe Potter's pretty handy with the DIY.
Could be.
But would that be part of the job interview? You're walking around the stadium going, right, so you sign him, he's going, see that hole up there?
First?
There's a toolbox, what are you doing?
Is that Jadon Sancho?
I want control of everything.
Throw this pen out the window. Oh, he's done it.
Jadon Sancho walks past with a tool belt on.
Oh, yeah, he'd be for Potter coming in. Anybody in, I suppose.
But seriously, this is the kind of game on Sunday tea time that someone like me, who has no vested interest in either of the sides, we'll be so looking forward to, because there's a chance it could be an absolute car crash.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at the way that...
Like it was last season.
Yeah, if you look at the way Liverpool are playing, they are... United won't get near them in midfield. And that trio they have there, and, you know, well, I suppose Trent Alexander-Arnold is the one who gets the most play, but someone like Szoboszlai as well, who he's not been underrated, actually, because a lot of people have been talking about how well he's doing, but this could be a defining moment for early on in his Liverpool career, just like bossing a game like that, where it's not to say that he'll have to do much, you know, much out of the ordinary, but, you know, at home, in front of that crowd, in this kind of game, which still has, you know, the historical relevance, even if United have really fallen off a cliff, that this could be a real definer for him. And he's just such a good player to watch. And there, you know, strands of Gerrard in there as well.
You look at that right flank that Liverpool may line up with. It could be Alexander-Arnold, Szoboszlai and Salah against a kind of historically out of form Marcus Rashford, who'll play off the left maybe. Diogo Dalo at left back, who is, you know, I think is capable, but doesn't show it very often. And then Amrabat on the left of midfield.
Yeah,
that's a mismatch. That's a bloodbath.
But there are mismatches. There are mismatches all over the field.
That's the T-Rex getting out of the fucking unelectrified fence in the paddock in Jurassic Park.
So are United the guy who sat on the toilet?
100%.
Yeah,
Gennaro the lawyer.
Yeah. How do you remember that?
That's his name. And they are going to munch him.
Yeah,
he's going to get munched. They're going to be fine. This Liverpool, if it goes the way, if it starts to go, because from memory, the 7-0 last season, you know, I don't think Liverpool scored their first goal till just before half time.
Gakpo,
And then they blitzed them in the second half.
And they scored late in the first half and then early in the second.
And may not have worse now than they were then.
Yeah, definitely. United were in a decent run then. I think with the suspension of Bruno Fernandes, we're going to be in a situation where Manchester United are just not going to go toe-to-toe with him. I think we saw a little blueprint for that in the first half of the Bayern game, but it basically just means they're just not going to do anything going forward.
Yeah, I think the injury to Maguire meant that Manchester United are definitely not going to get anything out of this. There's a weird sense with this where...
What a take. Yeah. It's a good take.
Yeah.
There's a sense, though, that if Man United lose this, say, 4-0,
I would take 2-0.
Yeah.
No, fuck off.
You're not having 2-0.
You can't have. I will take 2-0.
No, that's poor.
Please.
Would you take 3-0 now? 3-0 in a count and two of the goals in the last 5 minutes.
You should take 3-0.
Depends how I'm feeling.
If I was advising you, which I am, you should take 3-0.
No, I'm going to settle for 2. That's my final offer, 2-0.
No, it's a plea deal.
You should settle for 3. I appreciate 4.
I didn't do it. It's 2-0.
All right.
Listen, if it goes the way we think it may go, there are Liverpool players on Sunday tea time who are going to be picking Man United out of their teeth.
Is it?
People are putting bets. Genuinely, people are putting bets on 8-0.
Right.
Love that. Yeah. Jim, who's currently top of the Premier League?
It is Liverpool, isn't it?
It is Liverpool. Not that many people, I don't think, have been talking about them in terms of the title.
No.
Is it because...
I bet Liverpool fans will be very understanding about that.
They're very understanding.
Yeah, they won't mind.
I don't think that's true.
Okay. Why is is that then? You've been listening to Liverpool media.
Because people have been talking about them for the title.
I think, though, that there's been...
I think it's just that they haven't been top until last week.
Yeah, no, obviously being top, I mean, they've still been in it. I suspect that, my sense that maybe people haven't been talking them for the title as much is because they still remember last season. I think people still compare them to the you know, those glory-winning
team.
Yeah, the title-winning team and the Champions League-winning side, you know, that bulletproof Liverpool side. It was utterly incredible, one of the best we've ever seen.
Yeah.
And also, earlier in the campaign, you know, Liverpool, there was a few fortuitous wins, I suppose, even though now they're up and running. So, I mean, they've won 18 points from losing positions this season.
I saw that. That's a mad fact.
Which is incredible.
Almost half their points.
Yeah, but I think, though, that, and of course they won those points and it shows character and it shows all that. But I think maybe subconsciously or something, people think, yeah, well, they were, but we've seen them go behind
a lot, exactly.
If you see what I mean.
Yeah.
That's definitely a factor.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely part of it. I kind of agree. I think you've both got a point, really. Sometimes the Premier League and all the media that surrounds it, certain things get embedded in the public's consciousness about little stories, like Aston Villa would be one, for example. Mm. The Everton points deduction has taken a lot of heat as well. Man City dropping off and having a quite poor run of form, which is coincidentally happened at the same time Liverpool have really started to hit their straps. All that type of stuff does factor into it. I also think there's an element of chaos about this season informed by the amount of players that are injured because there's so much football happening. So, you know, if you look at, you mentioned that Man United might have a lot of players out. I think they're going to have possibly 11 players out for injury.
13 at the time of recording, yeah. I think so. Ten Hag's about to give an update.
One of those is Fernandes, who's suspended, not injured.
Yeah, right. So 13 unavailable players. Okay. Yeah,
and then, but even Liverpool have got, like, you know, 6 players who Matt just got it here: Joel Matip, Thiago, Andy Robertson, Diogo Jota, Bacatic, an exciting young midfield player, and McAllister, who they bought for a lot of money. Doesn't really register. Like 6. I mean, I remember 5 years ago, if a team was going to a game this big and had 6. players, and five of which were key players, out for injury, that would be a story. It's five, not anymore.
Five of those players who could walk into the opposition team.
Yeah. Well, that, well, let's not get down that road. I mean, you would be here all day.
No, no, but I mean, those are the people like out in. We'll take them now.
Yeah. Joe Matt's only got one left. I will take him. Right. Yeah.
Well, speaking of injuries, gentlemen, we've got to move on to Newcastle United versus Fulham.
Another team who've got massive injuries, yeah.
And suffered yet more injuries in that defeat against Milan, with Anthony Gordon coming off and Kieran Trippier.
The Trippier one was a kindness.
Yeah, although, I mean, Trippier, was he suspended anyway? Mm-hmm. He certainly won't be playing against Fulham. So, yeah, Eddie Howe said Gordon had, you know, previously sort of been aware of his hamstring, you know, not being quite
who
right.
Who was aware of his hamstring?
Anthony Gordon.
Thank you.
All right.
Right.
And of course, you know, this is bad news for Newcastle, because Fulham are pulling up into town, having a lovely old time. Consecutive 5-0 wins against West Ham Forest, currently the team to beat in England. So,
16 goals in four games, Marcus.
Jim. Mm-hmm.
Like Godzilla of the Premier League.
Yeah, I'd say so.
They are the Godzilla of the Premier League.
I reluctantly agree with you. So, what do you think, Jimmy? I mean, Newcastle, you know, on paper, with everybody fit, you know, the better side, and statistically, you know, higher in the league and so on. Mm. But with that Fulham form that you can't deny, and those Newcastle injuries, I'm thinking 3-0 Fulham.
3-0. We're going to come on to what I think about this.
Now we should be taking a 3-0.
I think Fulham will get a point here, because Newcastle, they look obviously pretty fatigued. They've played a lot of football. They've got the injuries that you've spoken about, but they do still have goals in them. And Callum Wilson's back now, isn't he? And obviously he's a threat. I think this is going to be tough, because it's a really, really tough place to go, isn't it? We've seen they've made it horrible. They've made it this absolute fortress of bastards, and teams wilt there a little bit. So I think that those two factors will combine for a draw.
I would also add, and regardless of what Marcus says, you know, Fulham have had no real showpiece results away from home this season. The only exception possibly are the opening day where they beat Everton.
A draw at Arsenal wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Okay, that's two. But generally speaking, they do all their good work at home, don't they?
Well, now's a chance.
Now is a chance.
You see?
Every game is a new chance.
Exactly.
To make a name for yourself.
Damn right it is.
It's lovely to see Raul Jimenez back amongst the goals. Oh, obviously, yeah. We've all been hoping that would happen. Mm-hmm. And also Tom Kearney back waving his wand of a... the left foot.
We could talk about Tom Kearney. It should be a Patreon special. Marcus talks about Tom Kearney for half an hour every week. He'd never run out of things to say. No.
Well, have you ever met him?
Never met him.
Be an 18 certificate, but he never had things to say.
Well, it'd mostly be him going, well, Tom Kearney.
Yeah. No, it'd be fan fiction.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
It would be fan fiction.
Honestly, that left foot is one of the best in the Premier League.
You don't want to know where it's going in Marcus' fan fiction, that left foot, I tell you.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. You should hear it.
I just think some left feet should be punished. but Fulham are up to 10th. They are in the top
sorry,
half.
Germans, if you listen.
I'm not sorry. They don't deserve an apology.
Yeah, why?
Because they just don't. They can look after themselves.
You were praising them like
I love
10
them.
Minutes ago.
I love them, but
it's just so confusing.
Yeah.
They love us. They love us. We love them, really.
Yeah.
And they don't need our sympathy fish. They're doing fine without us.
There we are. You're gearing up for next summer, aren't you?
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there'll be a lot of love.
First game against Scotland.
There we are. Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But Fulham, yeah, they're 10th. They lead the West London pack in the Premier League, of course.
Yeah.
Fulham 10th, Brentford 11th, Chelsea at 12th. So there we are.
I mean, it's hard to think of a section of people in the world that would care about that.
Yeah.
Even people in West London don't care about that.
I tell you who cares about it the most is Brentford.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, most definitely. People in West London don't care about football anyway.
That's not true.
It is true,
you've
isn't
got
it?
Four teams in West London.
West London's the worst part of London, isn't it?
I grew up in West London.
I know you did. That's
why
I'm looking
you
at you.
Looking directly at you.
Not a chance.
It is. Jim?
Yeah, I'm not.
Because this is quite London centric.
I think we all agree Clapham is the worst part of London.
Well,
I would argue.
Oh, lads, we are isolated. You're talking about sorry to German listeners. Sorry to everybody.
No, Marcus doesn't like it when you talk about local.
Do you know what's also terrible? Women.
No! Right.
Fish.
Let's go on the social media. All I think, and then this is super localised chat, and Marcus, just forgive me for 1 second. There's a lot of chat about how North or South London's better. Which one's better? Nike did a big thing, didn't they, where they did North London team.
It's all a bit silly.
It is, because the worst part of London is West London. And it's, North and South should get together, because West London are the real enemy.
The way I see it, all of South is Croydon. West, not interested.
Yeah.
East, good. North, best.
Nah.
Yeah.
Jim's wrong on that, I think.
Of course he is.
And I think people should get involved. If they know anything about London, they'll listen to this show. If I can make your feelings known.
I just apologise to everybody there.
You live in West London. You live. You're from.
I live in
West
South
London.
West London, if we're going to be specific.
Yeah, but you guys have got sympathy for that part, though.
Hmm?
No, so West Croydon. Norwood. West Norwood.
Look, all I know is that Londoner's geography is bloody awful, and Jim is very much displaying that right now. What's more north, Jim, Croydon or Bournemouth? See, he doesn't know.
Doesn't know. Does not. Let him answer. No, he'll just embarrass
himself.
He doesn't
know. I think we've heard enough from Jim. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But speaking of teams in West London, did you see that the Premier League clubs this week voted to restrict the amortisation of player contracts? Now, this, I say West London because Chelsea have been doing that quite a lot. Famously or infamously, whatever you want to word it. So Todd Bowley will have to have a rethink. Although Chelsea did vote to stop this, didn't
hilarious.
They? Proper drawbridge.
Rate that.
So funny. I mean, because
we've got what we came for. Thanks very much.
Because the UEFA rule changed anyway, they had no choice but to if they want to compete in European competition again at some point, which maybe they don't based on that
so it might not be their choice.
I should explain. So what that means is when Chelsea was signing players to get around FFP, they would sign them over an 8-year contract or something like that, and obviously spread the payments over that amount of time. Now, there would be clauses in the contract so players could get out of it and so on. So any transfer fee now can be spread over a maximum of 5 years. That's 5 years, not 1 hour. That's 5 years.
The contract can be as long as they want, can't it? But the
yes, exactly. Yeah.
Sorry, the transfer fee. Yes. We should say. So some clubs reportedly voted to backdate the punishment to the start of the year, which would have increased Chelsea's amortisation charge on 11 summer signings from $24 million to $84
million. Which has a big impact on financial fair play and stuff like that.
Yeah, and that would have, they would have been in Everton territory there.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
But that's not happening.
No, it would have been deeply unfair because Chelsea played within the rules at the time that the rules existed in that way.
Yeah.
I do think it's hilarious that a number of clubs are like, nah, fuck that, though.
Yeah. But this, as you said at the top of this, it looks like, even though there's some devil in the detail, as Jim said, it looks like Chelsea have gone, right, cheers very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Don't worry about that. We won't do that again.
I mean,
fine,
to be honest with you, and I think FFP is broadly a good thing, but you could argue that with FFP. Those who'd already done all that, got ahead, they bring in FFP, and then it locks it in.
We are starting to see, we are starting to see now it becoming a bit more of a factor in terms of teams who are near the limit of it and maybe... can't spend as recklessly as they once did in various windows, and this is kind of what we wanted, right? So
yeah, well, Jim, and if they do spend recklessly and they break the rules, then some teams will be punished.
Absolutely. Well, now listen, the Betfair will be absolutely delighted that it's now time for their Rambalaka. If you're looking to get involved in all the festive football action, then look no further than this, because Betfair have made it faster and easier to build your Akka this football season. And you can celebrate this weekend with a completely free Akka or Bet Builder on the football. Today and every Friday, we'll be building an Akka of our four match odds, 90 bets from across the Premier League. Usual story, Marcus, as ever, you're the brave boy up first. What have you gone for?
Aston Villa to beat Brentford. It's away from home, and I know they're off the back of the Europa League, but I think Villa are a fairly safe bet these days. So I thought, I'll treat myself to a bit Aston Villa, yeah.
Very nice. Jim, I think we know what you've chosen because you mentioned it earlier, but did you want to remind us for the sake of a feature?
Yes, I've gone for Fulham to draw against Newcastle at St James's Park.
Big shout. Vish, you were offered the chance to cover the Manchester United game. You refused to do so. Would you tell us the game you have decided to cover?
I have decided to cover Burnley-Everton, the return of Dyche to Turf Moor, and I think he's going to walk away with 3 points.
Yeah.
4 wins on the bounce for Everton.
You like voting for Everton these days?
Yeah.
Voting for Everton, as in picking Everton with this.
Right.
Okay. Nottingham Forest, I think you picked them to win.
Yes,
Forest
I did.
Away,
yeah. They've served me well.
They have served you well.
Might support a new team.
here's hoping that they do the business for you as well. Now, I have stepped up and gone, I've stuck my neck out here. I think there's an outside chance that Liverpool might beat Man United at Anfield on Sunday. Mm. So, in summary, Villa to beat Brentford at Brentford, Fulham to get a draw up at Newcastle, Everton to beat Burnley, and Liverpool to beat Manchester United. A £10 bet with Betfair on that returns £150. And if we win, all that money will go to Prostate Cancer UK. Plus, for every stoppage time goal in the Premier League this weekend, Betfair are donating £10 to the same charity. We have already raised £400 this season alone from that. Excellent cause and a good amount of money so far, with plenty more to go. Remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their match odds 90 markets, your winning bet is paid out in full at 90 minutes. Any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but are then undone by some stoppage time drama will not be affected. And that's the same for our Rambalaka as well. Opt-in required and previous deposit required. Max free bet varies from £1 to £10 per customer. Minimum odds of 1.5 on minimum one leg. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
And now it's time for this.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
What that means is it's time for Jack's Encyclopedia. We have an update from Jimmy to the B.
Yeah, nice.
Vish, you are still lineal champion.
Yay.
Luke, you're bottom of the table. So
well,
it's,
surprise. That's a surprise.
You have won this game a few times before.
I don't need your charity.
You're talking yourself down. It's a tactic.
I could take the title from Vish today, though, right? I could actually take the title.
Well, he's the lineal champ, so absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be fucking amazing.
So if you've not listened to this brilliant game before, it is essentially a simple game of categories. If one of these mugs goes too slowly, I will play Gary Neville's orgasm, which leaves them 7 seconds to answer. Marcus took the title with a landslide 2-0-0 victory last week, so let's see if anyone can be better than that. First category, if you guys are ready.
Ready.
Managers that have managed over 300 Premier League games. That's 17 managers, so that's managers that have managed over 300 Premier League games. Marcus, as you
not
won
currently
last week,
like in the history of
just,
the league?
Just in the history of the league.
Okay.
So, Marcus, as the winner from last week, we're gonna put you first.
Sir Alex Ferguson.
Sir Alex Ferguson is correct.
Stick your neck out. Arsene Wenger,
also correct.
Harry Redknapp.
Harry Redknapp is correct.
David Moyes.
David Moyes
good one.
Is also correct.
Mourinho's got to have done it. Jose Mourinho.
Jose Mourinho has indeed done it.
Get him.
Jurgen Klopp.
Ooh. Jurgen Klopp.
Nice.
I'll have Sam Allardyce.
Oh, good.
Oh, yes, that's you
a,
will.
That's a
I think I'm going to go for Sean Dyche.
Sean Dyche. Ooh.
Mate, really? I can't believe I had him.
Yeah, that's a surprise.
I am surprised at that.
Luke,
thanks for jumping
out
on that grenade for us.
I'm not surprised because it's me.
Vitushin.
I don't know why that freaked me out. Alan Kerbishley.
Alan Kerbishley is correct.
Ooh. Nice. Well played. Ah, that's put me back on the back foot.
It has.
I'll have Kenny Dalglish.
Kenny Dalglish, he says.
Yeah.
Fish, back to you.
Ooh. Yopty.
These are all noises, and here's another one.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final. The headline has been written.
Ron Atkinson.
I think he got it in.
Ron Atkinson is not right. It can't be right.
Not right, unfortunately.
Okay, so one
Marcus,
last
you're
go.
Back in.
I should have probably been thinking of one.
you got it all that time.
Yeah. Oh man, come on.
There's some gettable ones here.
Hit fucking Gary Neville, cunt.
It's
Alan Pardew.
Come
Alan
on,
Pardew.
Come on, Pardew.
Did a dance.
I haven't won it yet.
Neither had he, I suppose. Yeah.
That's the point.
If I do the dance, he'll win it.
Yeah.
So Alan Pardew with 320 games there. So Vish, over to you, sir. Interesting.
Steve Bruce.
Steve Bruce.
Roy Hodgson.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Very nicely done. Who else? Is
throwing the pressure right back on you there.
Who is an old man?
you got five men left.
This is a really good round. You boys have done well.
It's Torres.
Ian Holloway?
No,
it's not
Holloway.
A man.
No. So
good,
you actually had
Marcus.
Six men left. That is a point to Marcus. So the men you had left were Brother Brendy Rodgers.
Oh!
Mark Hughes.
Hughesy.
Yeah.
Martin O'Neill.
Great shout.
Rafa Benitez.
Ooh.
Tony Pulis.
Ooh!
And Joe Kinnear.
Oh, Joe!
Wow.
Blimey. Ooh. That's a surprising one, isn't it?
I'm well surprised Dyche isn't in there, but what are you
I had him down.
I should have gone for Rafa. Okay.
You're up first, big boy.
Okay, here we go. What is it, Jim?
So this is players...
Get me out of the way.
...that have been sent off in the Premier League this season. 31 players. Naughty
wow, really?
Boys. Naughty players.
Very naughty.
So, yeah, off you go, Luke.
In the Premier League?
In the Premier League this season.
Lewis Dunk.
Lewis Dunk.
I'm out of ideas.
Correct.
Christian Romero.
Christian
good one.
Romero is also correct.
Can I have him as well?
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final. The headline has been
Raheem Sterling. Raheem Sterling is in the correct.
Why can I not think of that?
It's a tough one. It's a really, really tough one.
It's ridiculous. I can think of a number of people getting booked and then straight away and I was like, I can't think of their names.
Mm.
And that's crucial. It's over to you, Luke. He's bought you some time there.
I think... Has Alexis McAllister been sent off?
Alexis McAllister has been sent off. Correct.
Curtis Jones.
Curtis Jones, he says correctly.
Well done. Well, that's a really good guess.
Really
well
good played. One.
Trying to think of them walking off the pitch, looking annoyed.
Don't show you're working.
Mm. It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final. The headline has been written.
Marcus Rashford.
Ooh.
Oh,
that was in Europe, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was, wasn't it?
Shit. Yeah. It was.
Yeah.
So
to get
take it for the point, for the round.
Destiny Udogi.
Destiny Udogi, he says. That was the one I
well
couldn't
done.
Think of the name.
Points of Vish.
So one all. One to Marcus, one to Vish.
Give us a selection of the others. Don't give us all of them.
Reece James, Takahiro Tomiyasu, yes. Tim Ream, Virgil van Dijk, Yves Bissouma, Fabio Vieira, Diogo Jota, Conor Gallagher, naughty Ashley Young. Loads of them. Thugs.
I can't believe it. I knew there was Fulham ones and I was pissed off when I was at the game when Ream got sent off.
Oh, yes. There we go.
Bassi
all right.
As well.
Last one. Maybe. Fish first, I guess.
Wait, it might not be the last one, Luke, if you can do something.
Yeah. Let's be honest.
Wait, I don't like this.
I like it. Do it again.
So
I'm the fucking Man United of this game.
The third category is players who have made over 200 Premier League appearances for Liverpool. That is 19 players.
Wow.
You'd think it'd be more, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Steven Gerrard.
Steven Gerrard is obviously correct.
Jamie Carragher.
Yeah, that's fucking hell.
Also obviously correct.
Mo Salah has to have.
Mo Salah has.
He has to have. Yeah, there's no debate about that.
Alisson,
he says.
Oh, well, how have I done that?
Big news for you, Spurs. That's massive
how
news.
How have I done that?
You could win the belt here.
Big opportunity.
You could win the belt.
Could do.
The only thing standing between you and the belt is me.
Okay. Give me a name.
Robbie Fowler.
I'll go for the bravest boy of them all, little Mickey Owen.
Little Mickey Owen, he says. 216.
He only just snuck in there.
He did, yeah.
Only just snuck in there. I will have. I'll have Steve McManaman.
Fine.
That's fine. That's absolutely fine. No, there's nothing in there. That's fine. That's absolutely fine in there. There's nothing in there.
Give me a name.
That's fine. I'd like my 7 seconds, please. Thank you very much. I'm going to go Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Correct.
Well done. I'll have Sadio Mane.
Sadio Mane, he says.
Oh, you fucking dancer. Yes! That's a point to me, right?
It is.
You can have Bobby Firmino as well if you want. You've got another one. Cheers.
Marcus.
I had Mane. I crossed it out and went for Alisson.
The silent majority will be punished.
The silent majority out there who love me. I'm very happy with
it. Here
that.
We go. We're back in. We're
fucking come on. I'm going for the belt.
How many others was there a number?
So, so you others. Could still have had Andy Robertson, David James, Dirk Kuyt, James Milner, Jamie Redknapp, John Arnorisa, Jordan Henderson, Lucas Leiva, Martin Skrtel, Pepe Reina, and Sammy Hippier.
Oh, man. The answer to those kind of questions is always James Milner.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
James Milner. Right, we're back
James
in.
Milner's done 500 Premier League appearances for fucking...
Six
Burnley.
Clubs. Yeah. 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 Wait, this could be yours, Luke.
Could
Moore.
Be. I could get the belt. What a twist.
Here we go.
I'm so excited.
It starts back with Marcus, doesn't it?
It's what?
Starts back with you, doesn't it?
If this category is Pompey's FA Cup journey in 2008, I'll probably still not win.
Mm. I really hope it is because it'll be a sick record.
It, yeah.
Right. So, tiebreaker. It's a juicy one. Premier League managers in charge on the first day of the 2010-2011 season. Man
fucking
United
hell
won
off.
The title that season.
Okay. Is it me first?
It is you first.
Probably go Sir Alex Ferguson.
Yeah, cheers.
Is Alex Ferguson... Yes, Alex Ferguson is in there.
Okay, so I'll tell you who else has simply got to have been in there, and that's Arsene Wenger.
That is also correct.
Unlucky fish.
Ready with Gary Neville.
Neville him.
10-11.
Hang on. You're getting close to being Nevilled here.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final. The headline has been written.
Brendan Rodgers?
Always in there. Brother Brendy.
Got to be.
I'm not seeing his name.
No, then. Unlucky.
No.
I'll tell you what, I've kept pretty quiet up till now. But I'll tell you something now, Vish. This belt's going to a new player. It's going to a new player. Marcus. We could have a new champion.
10-11.
Oh, bloody hell. So I've just written down the usual suspects, and I'm hoping one of them's in there. Harry Redknapp.
Harry Redknapp was at Spurs.
Yes!
Oh, shit.
Right, so my working is that...
Ready with Gary Neville?
I just need to work out the year they won the Champions... Right, so...
Come on, what's this?
I think... Andre Villas-Boas.
Oh.
The headline has been written. Marcus.
Oh,
yes. Take it. Well done, Marcus.
Dagger to the heart.
Was Di Matteo in there?
Roberto Di Matteo was in there.
Oh, that's yes. Chelsea. I was trying to work out the year they won the Champions League.
Was Roy Hodgson there?
Tell so me. You could have had Hodgson. Alex McLeish, Avram Grant, Carlo Ancelotti, Chris Hughton, David Moyes, Ian Holloway, funnily
David
enough.
David Moyes, you've got to go for the old guard.
Kevin McDonald, who was Villa caretaker manager. Right, Tom would have been amazing to get that. Mark Hughes was at Fulham. Mick McCarthy was at Wolves. Owen Coyle, Roberto Di Matteo, Roberto Mancini, Roberto Martinez, Roy Hodgson, Sam Allardyce, Steve Bruce and Tony Pulis.
Yeah. As soon as you went Ferguson, it should have triggered Moyes, shouldn't it?
I just basically wrote down Allardyce, Hodgson and Redknapp and I thought I'm safe with those three.
Yeah. VF Barrow close came I was in going... June 2011.
Yeah, I was going to go Di Matteo. Yeah. I was going to go Di Matteo. Fuck it.
It's quite funny that you fuck that. I've lost
it.
It's
the hope that kills funny. You, man. It's the hope that kills you so bad.
Oh, Luke Moore, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview.
Fuck you for listening to this shit.
Sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network.
Nah, fuck you for listening to this shit.
Oi, do you want to stay behind? Do you not want a weekend? Do you want me to keep the gate closed for you?
Yeah, close it. I don't deserve it.
Do you want to close it for everyone?
Yeah, I do.
I can't do that because the good people need to listen to the mailbag tomorrow.
That's true, and that's a big part of the
and
weekend.
And that's the other side of the fence.
Yeah,
okay,
it's absolutely
so
right.
The gate is open. Yeah. The weekend is officially here, everybody. Get your swagger on. Follow us on X, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble. Don't forget to subscribe on your podcast.
There's some great stuff on X.
Yeah. A lot of good stuff on there.
Yeah, stuff on X. You can find that at twitter.com.
It's really improved.
Really great.
It's really improved since it changed its name. That was the missing ingredient, actually.
All it was is just a letter.
Yeah.
Thank you, Luke Moore.
Cheers.
Thank you, Vitusha Hansaraja.
Look at his face.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
And thank you, me. See you soon.
Fucking sickening.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.